Welcome to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show. And here they are, Pickles and Bonds.
Oh, great catch.
Tackled by Petrenko. Driven into the ground.
Back of the pack. They're running again. McGregor dribbled one through. Two in a minute.
Ball on the stump. She won the pack. It's a big appeal. And he's giving it out.
Oh, welcome again to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show, the 50th show, Bonds. So we did something a little bit special. We've gone live for the very first time. So you're looking at us right now as we do the show.
Live on Facebook. G'day, everyone. This is what we look like if you haven't seen us before.
And stunning.
As we always said, good heads for radio. Mate, 50 shows.
Yeah.
Who would have thought we got to 50 shows?
No, we got together in the commentary box at a Redbacks game and then sort of looked at each other and said, oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And then all of a sudden we ended up in the studio.
Yeah, and now it's, we've got some great support now and a couple of fans.
Yes.
One in particular, sort of up north a bit.
The number one ticket holder, Jimmy Condon.
I'm sure he'll be tuning in any second. But
yes, you'll see a light come through. So.
Yeah, that's right. Look, great to have you on board. We really appreciate it. And, mate, a big show tonight. Obviously, it's 50.
Yeah, we don't have a guest coming in tonight.
No time.
So we are going to run over a few of the things that we've done throughout the year and sort of pat each other on the back and then do it again and then probably one more time and then we'll wind it all up. But Bonds on tonight, of course, we're going to have I couldn't even think what I was about to say then because normally I say the big guest, but there is
no
big guest.
You're nervous because it's 50. Well, we do have a special guest. We've got Andrew Kay from Wirrawirra.
Yes, of course.
Who's been a great supporter of ours. And Andrew's going to come and have a chat about his sporting ability and a little bit about his winery too.
Yeah. He loves his wine. He's a passionate man about his wine, but he loves his sport as well. And so you can always see him tweeting away on our handle.
Yes.
And he's at Wirrawirra. Vineyards.
That's right.
But of course, you get a hold of us at Pickles and Bonds. So make sure all your Twitter followers, you can jump on and let us know what you think of tonight's show, the 50th show.
Yeah, big 5-0. And look, we're going to talk at some AFL and some Sandful, Macca's League as well. And Champ of the Chump as always.
Yes.
Can't not have Champ of the Chump on a 50th show. And and a few other surprises.
Yeah, with this, with the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show, it's also give us a chance to get to Eagles Radio. So, which is pretty impressive. Pretty happy with it.
Yeah, and we've got some big news about Eagles Radio a bit later in the show.
We might launch that one a bit later on. So, now Bonds, how can they get a hold of us?
All right,
which you've been getting wrong every single week, and I've
It's technically not wrong. The easiest way is to go to our website, picklesandbonds.com. Down the bottom of each page, there's a little icon. It's either iTunes or Stitcher. You can click on that. It'll take you to the link.
And do you subscribe?
You subscribe on iTunes and you favourite on Stitcher.
Right.
Okay, so you don't subscribe, but same thing. People know that. These people out here on Facebook are smart. Oh, look, we got a like.
Just the one.
Someone likes us. All right, let's get into the AFL, hey?
All right, mate. Friday night, of course, was an absolute beauty. Your boys took on the Swans. It was the two sides who were rubbish early on in the year.
Yep.
Sydney hot to trot. They were the number one side in the competition stage.
Yeah, 10 of their last 11. They were very good, my boys. Really proud of them. They did a great job. Some of their kids are coming through Sicily in that last quarter.
We've seen the rebuild during the year.
Yeah, it's amazing. They've gone from, oh my God, it's going to take us years to get back, to all of a sudden, hang on, we're knocking on the eight. I'm not sure if we can make the eight, but it was a great result. They won by a goal.
You'll give it a nudge.
Fantastic result for my Hawkers. Next game was North Melbourne and Melbourne, just let this one slip.
Not at the right time for them. They need just to keep winning because it's so tight in that middle pack that they don't want to drop too far away.
Yeah, they could have put a gap on some of the teams around the eight, to North Melbourne's credit, they played well down there at Tassie and got the points.
And the Dockers and also the Giants getting over the line there, they're just not going the way that everyone would have thought at this stage of the year.
They
were meant to be red hot favourites, going to win the flag, walk-up starters, but they're just sort of hitting every hurdle at the moment.
Yeah. They got the win and they'll play finals, no question.
Yep.
Now, what about this game?
The steal.
They stole it, absolutely. Yep. Your boys stole it. And that boundary throw in, the tap from Pat Ryder down to Robbie Gray, for some reason, didn't have a bloke on him.
No, he's too quick.
Yeah. So I would have had three blokes on Robbie Gray. And, you know, they're through it goes. And
from 48, 49, it's a hell of a kick, clutch.
Two goals down with a minute and a half to go, and, yeah, you know, half the crowd's leaving, and all of a sudden, yeah, I hear this couple of roars and stole the win.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'd love to know what's in the coach's head. He would have already had his speech lined up. Yeah. Then he's got to change it.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then we've got another one to talk about, which is very similar to that a bit later on. Now, the Suns and the Tigers. The Tigers, of course, getting the job done there pretty easily. 65-98. Carlton and the Cats. The Cats absolutely thumping them.
Yeah, and they did what they had to do. That was pretty easy. Now, this was a good game on Sunday, too. Everyone's saying the Bulldogs are back, mate. Do you think they're back?
Well, that week they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows what happens next week? You lose next week, then all of a sudden you're off, you're again. So it's very much a one-week competition this year.
Easy win over the Bombers, when the Bombers were fancied by a lot of people. And then the game of two halves.
Yes.
Collingwood and Crows.
How big is this mark going to be in the annals of history when you start looking back? That's massive, that mark for McGovern.
Yeah, it's a huge mark. You'd never see it. Like that Hail Mary into a pack, 10 blokes go up, and no one ever marks it.
No.
So we've seen, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is Leo Barry in the grand final. Has a bit more significance, that one. But again, then to steady and go back, kick the goal, get the draw.
Yeah, as he's running back trying to beat the clock, and then he hears it go, and he just sort of slumps, thinking, oh, it's all on me.
Would have been interesting, because he took off then, it would have been interesting if the umpire went, play on.
But, the kick goes through. They get the draw. They feel like they've won. Collingwood feel like they've lost. But obviously neither of them has. And it's a draw.
And in the end, West Coast, too good for Brisbane.
Yeah, just trotted over the line. They got it done pretty easy. So, to this week, Bonds.
Yes, mate.
Friday night again. Another beauty. The Swans and the Cats. Now, the Swans wouldn't want to drop two in a row.
No, they wouldn't, and the Cats are without Danger.
Yes.
He's having a week off for tackling too well. So, I think the Cats will win. You can't pick against the Cats down at Simmons.
No, well, all he did was he driven him into the ground, if you've heard that before, Moz.
Absolutely.
Then the Giants and Melbourne. Now, both of these sides are just wobbling at the moment, but if either of those get the win, that'll make their coaches very happy. Melbourne probably need it more than the Giants, but the Giants would love just to get going again.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, tough one there, but I think I'll go with the Giants.
Yes.
Essendon and Carlton. Essendon should win this game.
I would think so.
Yep.
Yeah, Big Joe Danaher. I love watching him at the moment. Lions and the Dogs. I would say the Dogs should get it, but as I've said all year, the Lions just keep showing something.
Yeah, at home too, at the Gabba. Yeah. The Lions are always better up there, but I'm with the Bulldogs as well.
North and Collingwood. Now,
toss a coin.
Yes, Collingwood, for whatever reason, they are getting better and better by not doing anything, but there's a bit of momentum about Buckley now. People keep saying he is the man. So
I'm not sure. Toss a coin with that one. I've got no idea who's winning that game.
I hope you've got a lot of coins at the moment. Keep throwing them in the air.
And here's another one.
Yes, the Dockers and the Suns. So pretty much this is all of those sort of 9 to 16 or 7 to 14 teams that you're not really sure.
No, over there at Domain Stadium, I think Frio.
They're pretty hard to beat over there.
This next game is going to be a cracker. So the Saints have lost three. They should have won last week. There's no doubt they played the better footy for most of the game, except for the last minute and a half.
Yep.
And they come up against West Coast at Etihad. You would think that the Saints would win that.
Yeah, record will show that West Coast are going to battle away.
Yeah.
But this year, the records mean nothing.
Yep.
And so, who knows? Toss another coin.
And Hawthorn and Richmond do battle at the MCG on Sunday. Again, the Tigers.
The Wobblers.
You just think they should beat Hawthorn, but so should have Sydney beat Hawthorn.
Yeah, and the Hawks without Luke Hodge.
Gets a
three-strike rule.
Yeah, because just a bit of a love tap to the stomach. Yes. And just a quick mention, obviously, to Jared Roughead playing his 250th game. For a guy, we all know what he's gone through, and a fantastic effort. So,
yep.
That's why Hodgie.
That's off.
That's why Hodgie went back to the tribunal and tried have a crack at it. He had nothing to lose. And then the biggest game in Adelaide for the year.
Yeah, this is monstrous with where they are right now because obviously I think there's only a game between first and second.
Yep.
And Port need to get back into that four. So it is huge. It is really, really big.
It's a huge game. Adelaide will have a few guys coming back. Lever will be back. Crouch will be back. Eddie Betts will be back.
Yep.
Not a bad player.
Yeah.
I'm leaning slightly towards the Crows, but I reckon your boys will...
Adelaide home ground, so too. A load of the noise going there, but whenever these two sides play each other, throw away the form guide.
Absolutely.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So that's at 4:10 on Sunday, so the last game of the round should be a cracker. All right, mate, who's your pick of the week?
I'm going to go, for the fun of it, I'm going to go with Port.
Okay, and I'm going to go for my Hawks to upset Richmond, because that'll be fun too. Okay, now let's look at the Sandful Maccas League, mate.
Yes, Sandful Maccas League is going great guns now with the Eagles stumbling last week. So a few other teams sort of saying, hang on, not unbeatable. We might be able to get some momentum going there.
So Norwood did seem to have the wood on. The Eagles played them twice, beat them twice. They're the only team that's beaten them.
Which is going to make that final series for them something massive because they now have, we can't go in and lose to Norwood again.
Norwood were really good. Their midfield was fantastic.
The big boys.
Yeah, Grigg and Panos, they were just excellent. So hats off to them.
Balderstone is monstrous.
He's a big boy, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a big boy.
If you can't tell, we were there last week, obviously, calling the game. And our first ever loss as a commentary duo.
Yeah, it was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Yes, down there at at Moreton Hyundai. But let's start at the top. West Adelaide took on Sturt. And Sturt, who are also a very good side and are going to be there when the whips are cracking.
Yeah.
They just about doubled their score at City Mazda.
Yep.
And as we said, Eagles, they copped a bit of a whack, 63-97 at the hands of Norwood. You've already mentioned probably some of the reasons why their midfield just too big, too tall, too strong.
Yeah.
And just run and run.
And you could see Petrenko first game back for a while. And he clearly underdone. They lost Gus Poole as well before the game. So that hurt on a day where in and under was important.
Jared Orman went pretty early.
Yeah, Jared Orman did a shoulder. So they still got a few injuries down there at Eagle Land, but final's not that far away. And then the other game in Bordertown, mate, on the Sunday.
Yeah, long drive up and a long drive back, you would have thought, for the Adelaide side, who got stitched up by Glenelg. 86-69.
Now, it is a split round, so the games this week, Port Adelaide take on South Adelaide at Alberton Oval, and the Doggies do battle with the Roosters out at My Money House Oval.
So
I thought we'd have a quick look at the ladder, because we're only 4 weeks away from finals for the sample. So
where's this year gone?
Yeah, pretty quick. Yeah. Yeah, quick.
it's race, doesn't it?
The Eagles sit on top with 13 wins. Sturt second, Norwood third. They have 10 wins. Port Adelaide can join them with a win this weekend. They're on 9 wins.
Game in hand.
Yep, and Glenelg with 8 wins. And then 2 games further back is South. So Glenelg almost, they've got to win 1 or 2 games, I think. You'd still want them to win a couple of games to just ensure they hang on to that fifth spot.
Yeah, South playing Port this week to try to to narrow the margin.
Mm.
But I think Port will probably get the win, which will suit Glenelg no end.
Yeah, and then making up the rest of the ladder is Adelaide, Central's West and North Adelaide on the bottom with just 3 wins.
Yeah, Central's certainly not the year that they would have expected to have.
No, certainly not. They're not used to being out of the 5, that's for sure.
No, it's been a long time since they've had a year where they've won 4 games only. Now, Bonds, are you going to do it?
Massive news.
All right, do it in your biggest radio voice.
Right, massive news. That we, Pickles and Bonds with Eagles Radio, have got permission to call all the Eagles finals at Adelaide Oval. So we can't wait, can we?
We certainly can't. And we know that the position that they're in at the moment, if they go anywhere near the way that they're going for the last four rounds, they'll play in at least two.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We've got two games. Imagine if we get to the grand final, boys.
Well, it'll be great. I
say we as in the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show.
Of course. So, look, we just cannot wait to, one, go to one of the best stadiums in the world.
There is no bad seat.
Sit in the commentary box so people can bring their radio. Any fan watching the footy can bring their radio, whether it's the Eagles supporter or whoever they're playing, bring their radio, hear live commentary. We when we got the news that that was going to happen, we're over the moon.
Some of the things we heard, Bonds, we're in box number five. We've got some footage of box number five, which has been decked out in all our paraphernalia for us.
Has it really?
Yes, it's all ready to go. They've already got the catering staff to help us out.
Mate, all I can say is...
You, sir, are an idiot.
You're listening to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show, episode number 50. You can catch us on iTunes or on Stitcher. And we'll be back with a very special guest, Andrew Kay from Wirra Wirra Wines. Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging
on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the world. Welcome back to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show, our 50th show, Bonds.
Yep.
Now, about halfway through the year, we started bringing in the interviews, which
we
was
did.
A revelation. Now, they wouldn't have been able to happen without our great sponsors from Wirra Wirra. Now, we're lucky enough to have on the line the CEO of Wirra Wirra, Andrew Kay. Andrew, welcome to the show.
G'day, guys. How are you going? And congratulations on the 50th show.
Thanks very much, mate. Look, as we said, we wouldn't have been able to get here probably without your sponsorship, because the being able to give the guests something really is an added extra. But we do know that that's probably because you love your sport. Now, is it, if you had to choose them, is it cricket or is it footy?
Well, mate, it's a hard one. I think the cricket season, it's all over cricket. When it's the football season, it's football. It's hard to split the two. I love them both. But Wirra Wirra is the sponsor, the wine sponsor of the Adelaide Strikers, and we're also the official wine partner of the Sacker. So cricket's probably just winning out at the minute.
Now, mate, what about your... Growing up in your youth, you were a huge athlete yourself, and you played under-19s footy for the Eagles, for West Torrens. So tell us about your junior sporting accolades.
Oh, gee, I played footy and cricket and squash, and played through the school days. I went to St. Mick's and played footy there, and I captained the first 11, for cricket, which I think had more to do with my ability to place the field rather than my talent with the bat or the ball. And I did go out to West Torrens as a junior and had a bit of fun there a few years in the under-19s, where I seemed to spend most of my time on the physio's bench with a torn hammy. And that's the reason that I say I never went any further. Others might just say it was my lack of ability, really.
Now, you're pretty someone at the company, at the winery, is pretty quick on the Twitter feed at Wirra Wirra Vineyards. So who's your social media man?
Mate, I have to own up to that. Yeah, I'm the one on Twitter. Everyone's far too busy and doing too much important stuff to worry about that. So generally, it's me. So sometimes it's about wine, but it could be anything to do with the way the Redbacks are travelling, or the Aussie cricket team, the Crows, or even whatever music I'm listening to this week. It gets pretty varied from time to time.
All right. Now, you are a very busy man. You don't just spend your time down at McLaren Vale. We often see your tweets and your social media. You go all over the world promoting the winery. How much time do you spend away from South Australia?
Well, these days I keep it reasonably under control. It's probably two or three trips to China a year and maybe one to the States or somewhere like that. But in recent years, our export manager does the bulk of it, but I probably get to China more than anywhere else in terms of international stuff, because that's where the growth has been, and the Chinese have tended to want to deal with the boss. So that's been one of the reasons I've spent a bit more time over there.
So which is the easiest and the hardest market to break into overseas?
Well, mate, right now the Chinese market's doing great things for Aussie wines.
Yep.
That's really the growth market for everyone. The UK is a bit of a basket case just with the currency. It's pretty tough to sell wine over there these days. You know, it's a market that was big for Australian wine for a long, long time, but unfortunately you need to sell wines for the same prices today that you were selling them 25 years ago. And, you know, costs have gone up in this country and currency is working against us, so it's a little bit tough.
All right, what about Wirrawirra itself? Now, both Pickles and I have been down there, and it's a beautiful place to go. It's a, you know, hats off to yourself and the staff there. It really is a very welcoming place. As soon as you walk in the door, you see a smiling face. What makes Wirrawirra a little bit different to all the other wineries in Australia? Let's go.
Yeah, well, you might have just, well, there's a few things. You probably just touched on one of them there, that the staff, the culture of the place is just fantastic. You know, we have nearly a third of our staff now have been there for more than 10 years. Probably another 30% have been over 5 years. And they tend, you know, we're such like the Hotel California, you check in, but you never really leave the place. It's a place that people enjoy and it gets under their skin and they really treat it like it's their own. So that staff culture is fantastic. And we encourage people to have a bit of fun, to think left field, do things a little bit differently. And if you walk around the place, you can see that. You know, we have our own medieval siege machine, a trebuchet that hurls watermelons into the paddock next door. We have a bell tower. You know, we have a giant post and rail fence called Woodhenge, which is named after Stonehenge, but it's made of timber, so that's why it's not called Stonehenge. I mean, there's all that sort of stuff. And underpinning it all, the key thing is the wine has to stack up. Otherwise, you know, the other stuff's just a real bit of fluff, really. And the fact that the wine delivers and the qualities there has given us great longevity. You know, we've got a wine like Church Block that most Aussie wine drinkers or red wine drinkers certainly know. Yep. And that's been around for over 40 years. And you couldn't find too many other wines in the Australian wine category or even brands in food or anywhere else that have been going strong for over 40 years and are more popular today than when they started. It's really quite a freak.
Well, it's not the only thing you've got going up there, Andrew. You've also got the new cafe.
Yes, beautifully done there, mate. It's the Harry's Deli. And they heard you were pretty good. I heard you were pretty good on the tooth there last weekend, actually.
Yeah.
It's a nice little cafe, very casual. We've only had, in fact, it celebrates its first birthday this Friday, and it's been a real hit. It's, the food's quite simple. It's panini, platters of cheese and meats and salads and soups. But the thing is, we're showcasing all the local providors, so you get to eat the food that you typically might find in a farmer's market in McLaren Vale or in a little off-the-beaten-track shop, even the coffees. A blend that's been put together by local coffee makers down there at Wollunga. So, you know, it's a chance for us to make the locals the heroes and show people a taste of what is, you know, is available not just in McLaren Bay but also the Fleurieu Peninsula.
Now, we do love your Church Block, and that's no doubt. But I, as you know, the other week I tried the RSW, which is your top shelf wine. And let me tell you, Andrew, I could not be more impressed. This was one of the best wines I've ever had in my life. This was awesome. And I'm coming back to buy some more, so don't worry about it. What makes that different? Like, why is it such a good quality wine? Does it ferment for longer? Is it just about the grape? Is it, you know, the process of making it?
A bit of all those things. It's our chance to show the best Shiraz we can possibly make in any vintage, and McLaren Vale's well known for its Shiraz. So we tend to be hitting up three or four really special vineyards that are typically anywhere from sort of 40 to 80 years old. And out of those three or four, maybe two or three on a good year will make the grade for our RSW. And we don't make much of it. It spends nearly 2 years in the best French oak we can throw at it. And it's just a chance to say our winemakers to flex their muscles and sort of showcase the best of the best. So for us, it's been a wine that's performed really well on the show circuit and on the world stage. And, you know, people buy and sell it now on the secondary wine auction market as well.
Yeah. When we get into the big time elite guests, mate, then we might have to start issuing a few of those away. But
for the 100th show, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Show,
yes. You've done one thing there, mate. You've explained everyone how to actually say the word Shiraz. Shiraz is now the way to go. Look, thanks so much for your support all the way through the year. and we hope that it's going to keep going and getting bigger and better. It's been great to have you on board. Great to have you on the Twitter feed, as we always say every week. Everyone, hashtag Wirra Wirra. Go up there and see him. And if you want to give it one last plug, mate, before we go.
Yeah, Wirra Wirra, McLaren Vale. Get down there and check it out.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate your support, mate. We'll catch you soon.
Good on you, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
All the best.
There you go. CEO of Wirra Wirra Wines, Andrew Kay.
Great to have him on board.
Yep.
And as we said, Bonds, without Andrew Kay's support of Wirra Wirra, we wouldn't have been able to have the interviews that we've had over the past 50 shows.
And we've had some great interviews, haven't we, really? We've been blessed to have some of the people in the studio.
Yeah, they've walked out and we've been gobsmacked a couple of times. We looked at each other and just said, wow, what was, can't believe that just happened. So, look, we've put together a bit of a montage, haven't we, Bonds?
We have.
Well, when I say we, you.
You were here in spirit while I was doing it. So we've put that together. And we're going to play that for you now. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back after this.
Yes, welcome back to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show. Now, as promised before the break, we are privileged enough to have John Casey in the studio with us, who, as we said, opted for the Channel 7 option before he got here. Not overly happy that we've come second rate to...
Second fiddle, Casey.
We've got to pay the bills, boys.
And you didn't have to dress up for us either. We're in a suit.
Yeah. Oh, I like to present well.
And you do know it's not a paid gig, this.
That was rumoured, so that's why I was at the day job and thought I'd pop in a little bit later. But pleasure to be here with you blokes. Heard very good reports about this show, so thanks very much for having me.
Michael Aish.
It's great to be here, Pickles. Good to see you and Bonds.
Rodney Hogg.
And an ex-football cricketer. How are you, boys?
Very good, Rodney.
John Fidge.
Thanks, Pix.
Shane Bond.
Yeah, thanks, Pickles. It's great to see you again, mate.
Jared Walsh, welcome to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show.
Thank you very much, Pickles and Bonds. It is a pleasure to be here in the studio.
Sam Jacobs. Sam, welcome to the show.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Brett Aitken. Brett, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here.
Stephen Leaney.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Stephen Stretch.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And I started there at the Barrier Daily Truth in Broken Hill. It was a general news reporting role,
right,
but with some elements of sport thrown in. And because I had a sport background and played a lot, any time that someone needed a sports story done, I'd always volunteer because I enjoyed it and wanted to be involved. And I also had to race across the road. We had the TAB across the road as well. And in those days, I had to go across the road and get the race results and come back and type them in for the next day's paper as well.
You weren't going for a punt.
Oh, well, eventually it did lead to that. And I had to say, my mum and dad were a little bit concerned. I was spending a lot of time in the tab. I said, it's work-related. So that set me on the path. I don't know if it was the right path, but it was on the path. Yeah. What do you actually call a trot's trial one night as well, because I wanted to have a crack at that. And there were only two horses in the trial. And if anyone's ever tried to call a two-horse horse race, or a harness race as it was at the trots, it's pretty difficult. There's not a lot to say when there's only two horses and one's in front and one's running second. So I found that very challenging.
And you knew.
I knew who the two horses were. And the actual Brad Beatrose, who was Broken Hill's best ever race caller, he was a friend of mine. And he said, yeah, I'll let you have a go. There's a trial after the last race. Come and call that. And he knew the problems I was going to have.
Yeah,
afterwards, he was laughing and laughing and laughing. He thought that was pretty funny. And it was. It was very difficult, but it gave me a great appreciation. Being the launch of paid TV, they wanted a famous person, someone that they would remember, like Bruce Gyngell was the first voice person seen on Australian TV. And they thought, we need someone like that. So they actually got Ron Casey, who was, you know, World of Sport, the voice of Australian sport at that time, largely to many viewers. And Channel 7 had agreed to him just to come on and say, welcome to paid TV. And they were gatewaying the signal. Ron Casey was in Melbourne. He's no relation, by the way, although I have mentioned that I am a relative of his at times if I thought it was going to get me some advantage.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's right. But and Channel 7 agreed to this, and they were gatewaying the signal. So he's in Melbourne. We're all in Sydney waiting for him to come on and say the words. And you wouldn't believe it. Rehearsal worked fine. We're chatting with Ron, having a good time. About 30 seconds before we were due to go on air, we lost the signal somehow.
Wow.
Oh. And there was a suggestion from someone in the background that Channel 7 thought, well, this will be funny. The brand new pay TV people looking to make a splash. I wonder what would happen if that switch just happened. And so he was gone. And there was a mild panic in the control room and so forth. And so basically they had to come to me I was expected to, it was Ron, was going to throw to John.
The other casing.
The other casing. And as it turned out, the first person that people saw was me. But that was by accident rather than by design. Wow. And no, to be honest, I really can't remember what my first words were because I think I actually had to say Ron's words because he wasn't there to say them. But yeah, it was exciting stuff. And yeah, just to be involved on the ground floor. I'd been lucky enough to work in paid TV in the UK. And when they said it was starting in Australia, I straight away put my hand up because I could see that there were a lot of opportunities there. If you get in on the ground floor of anything, as you know, there's a chance that you might get a chance to work on most things. And in fact, they went around the office. We had three commentators, myself, Andy Pascalides, and Anne-Marie Kerr, who was an Olympic gymnast. And so they said, now we're going to go out and try and buy sports rights for every sport. We don't know what we're going to get. Some of them we won't be able to afford. Some of the bigger ones on the anti-siphoning list we're not going to have. But we're going out there and we're going to go hard in the marketplace. So we want the three of you to write down a list of the sports that you're interested in, that you think you might be able to commentate. So I wandered around the office for the next day and a bit asking people, what's a sport that starts with W? I just went through the A to Z. I don't care what they get. I just want to have a go at it. So, and luckily enough, one of the first things that they that we got our hands on was the NBL.
Yeah.
So luckily for me, having a basketball interest, Andy was more soccer and had a lot of soccer that we did have coming in from overseas. And Anne-Marie, she did gymnastics, but you know, she was happy for us to take on majority of the other roles. So basketball was one of the first things, and that's where it started, the Premier Sports Network doing live basketball.
I remember in the backyard, we lived at Fulham, and we'd always kick in the backyard, and Dad would strap a pillow to his back, and we'd take hangers on his back. And then we'd compete with my brother, you know, like he'd kick the ball up, so he'd try to take some hangers. And, you know, if the ball was obviously just had to be one way, a bit too far, so the other bloke got the jump. But I remember out the front, we used to kick on the road, and the neighbour had this just magnificent tree that was perfect to just sit the ball up in it, and we would jump into not a tree but a shrub, a big shrub.
It was a tree, hell
yeah. Yeah. Well, we obliterated the tree. But they'd often come home. Obviously, we didn't do it when they were there. They'd come home and think, "What the heck's that?" Back in then, I think we had some fairly solid units.
It's a different era. You could.
Yeah.
Even up when you had to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was...
this was an unwritten law that you're allowed to, and it was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I actually remember vividly one day that Scott Field, who was playing for Westies, Mac has got the ball, and he's feinting with the ball to do a handball, to wait for Field to come with him, and Field finally comes, and he gets the handball off, but Mac didn't cover up, and Field's done a magnificent hip and shoulder, like half a bit front on and whatever. But Mac is actually, first time I've seen him, a bit dazed, and he's on the ground, you know, starting to squirm a bit, as in half concussed. So he gets up, and within 10 seconds, there's a ball up. So they bounce the ball. The ball went one way, nowhere near Field, where Field was. Mac has just hunted him. Gone and just clocked him.
Yeah.
If I could just paint a quick picture for the listeners right now, you said you love your footy. When Aishi's telling these stories, his hands are going everywhere. He's all over the place.
The passion's still there.
I know. He's faking handballs. He's taking marks. It's great to watch. Now, it hasn't all been beer and Skittles. Aishi obviously had the cancer scare. Now I did see an interview on YouTube, but we won't dwell on it. You know, what have you got to, you know, what's a quick summation for, you know, for every bloke who's listening?
Well, get tested, because I was getting tested for, you know, like I had a prostate check every year, but I hadn't got it checked for 2 years because I'd swapped doctors. All of a sudden, the doctor says, you know, dear, have you had your prostate checked for? I said, no, I haven't, because my bloods were fine. So, of course, you're up on the chair, you know, in the fetal position, and you know, like, come in sailor. And look, it's uncomfortable for 10, 12 seconds, whatever it is. And he finds something. And I'm thinking, go get a test. And one of my NOR doctors was a urologist, went to him, he did a biopsy. And what do you know, it comes out positive. So what do you do then? You know, like I could have done nothing. I could have monitored. I could have, and look, your head spins. And I just thought, no, look, get it out. So had it out. Was lucky that that I was fit. You know, they got it early. And you know what? I could have done nothing and it still could be fine by now. Hmm. But I don't know. I don't know if I want to take that risk and it gets out and all that sort of stuff. But so guys, you know, like, and I know technology or the research changes all the time and they have better ways to maybe find it or whatever they do. But, you know, you've got to have blood tests. You know, my boys now have to be tested at 35. And apparently my daughter has to be tested for, she's more susceptable to breast
because
cancer.
Because of the blood loss. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because of this. And you know, like, just get it tested, for goodness sake, because a lot of people don't realise that prostate cancer kills more men than breast cancer kills women. And, you know, you just need to get it checked. It's a simple, you know, as I said, if you don't want the digit up the clacker, then get a blood test. But get it done, for goodness sake, because, you know, you got to, if you get it early, you've got a massive chance.
At some stage, you've had to make your way over to Adelaide, or SA in particular, because you couldn't break it into the side over there. So was that a hard decision, easy decision? Like, you know, these days it's managers and contracts, or was that just like...
It's all changed, yeah, it's all changed. Look, it was a pretty, it was an interesting decision because I really had given up on Shield cricket in a sense. And then Gary Cozier, who went over to Adelaide, walked straight in. He was a teammate of mine, he's a couple of years younger. He's a teammate of mine at Northcote, so he went over, walked in the South Australian side and then walked in and then played, you know, test cricket. So I thought, well, if Coach can go into the... And you didn't have a lot of fast bowlers over there at the time. So I thought there might be a better opportunity because Victoria closed the door on me. I'd had a few second-level games, so Victoria closed the door. So, and a bloke called Ray Jordan, the ex-football man and state keeper, he said, why don't you go and give it a go? So, you know, over I went, played for Prospect the first year. And then one of the best captains I ever played under, a very encouraging sort of person, John Nason, who I don't know if Pickles knows him, but certainly Bonds knows him.
Yeah, certainly.
I thought he was brilliant. And I left Prospect. No offence to the club, but, you know, I got lured away by John Nason. Probably the best, one of the best decisions I ever did, because Nason was such a brilliant captain. He taught, you know, tricks about how to set fields and, you know, when he used the fast bowler really well, because he always brought you back. Instead of someone bowling their mates, you know, set the seventh wicket falls, and usually someone see the bowls, the bloke has just got a wicket. No tail-ender wants to face fast bowling. No tailer wants his life threatened, and that's the best time to bring him on. Bring him on as soon as the seventh wicket falls. Bring the fast bowler on to scare the by-Jesus out of the tail-enders.
First game against the Bombers.
Yep.
And you did all right. Kicked four goals.
Kicked four goals, played centre forward, and my first opponent was Terry Danaher. And then not a bad introduction.
Were you nervous going out and standing next to Terry Danaher? And...
Not really. No? Because I'd really, all through my childhood, I'd really focused on being an AFL footballer. So when I finally got there, I was more of the mindset of, well, here I am, I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? I wasn't really nervous about it at all. But Terry Danaher was my first opponent. Played on him for the first half, and then I had it easy in the second half because Paul Vander picked me up.
The Flying Dutchman.
But next week was even harder. We played North Melbourne. I had Keith Gregg and Roger Glendening. They were the two that picked me up. So I had three Brownlow medals and, you know, five best and fairest in the first 2 weeks of my career. So it was a pretty hard introduction. I kicked six against Hawthorne in the Panasonic Cup at Waverley before the season started, and I thought, yep, I'm in for a big year. I had a great pre-season, and then we get on the bus to go back to the airport, and Peter Knights comes up to me and sits next to me and says, oh, we've just recruited Warwick Kepper. And I said, what? And he goes,
he's not going to like halfback.
I said, mate, I've been going really well. He goes, yeah, look, he said, it wasn't anything to do with me. It was Paul Cronin and Christopher Scase. They wanted a really big, high-profile guy. But he said, oh, look, it doesn't really matter. You can, you know, we know you can play, you know, halfback and wing and everything like that. You're still in our best team and everything like that. And I sort of said, oh, yeah, okay. But deep down, I was sick. And so it had nothing to do with the football. It had nothing to do with form. So it had something to do with me and Nightsy. Yeah. And because I just sort of said to him, look, I've got no respect for you because you haven't got the balls to play the players you want to play. So, you know, at the end of the day...
It's probably a fair statement.
But at the end of the day, he's got to live with that. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and, you know, I'm happy with what I said to him.
You get traded back to Port Adelaide?
Yep.
How does that start? Is that something that you instigate? Is that something they instigate? Is that...
I actually did my ankle I think it was the end of 95 or middle of 95. It might have been the start of 95. I did it pretty badly and I cut all my tendons and missed about 10 weeks. And then this was the start of 95 season and missed most of the season. And then I couldn't get my ankle right. And I don't know, I think being away from, being away from home and being young, I think my training wasn't, obviously, I talked about my training wasn't the best in the world. You start thinking about home.
Yeah.
And when Port were coming in, Gavin spoke to Gavin and Gavin was coming back. I kind of said, look, I wouldn't want to go back to Port. I don't think the club at that stage would want because they invested a bit of time and we were happy for me to stay. But also, I think they got a good deal out of it in the end. I think they got Michael Gardner because me and Braden got traded back.
Yep.
And yeah, so that's how I ended up back at Port.
Did you have a manager at that stage doing that sort of work for you?
Yeah, Max the Shark Stevens.
Yeah.
Nah, he was all right. He was all right, Max. Yeah.
Got you a good deal then, did he? Good deal.
Oh, no. I think I got some fish and chips and a little of coke.
Like I said, a good deal. And what was that? Like, obviously, you come from the Sandful Port Adelaide, from the Magpies, and then you're going to come home and play in the AFL for Port Adelaide. Feeling?
Yeah,
that
no,
first,
that was
first game Jack as coach,
well, Jack
obviously.
Coach, I mean, everyone loved Jack. I grew up playing footy. I played a couple of league games before I left, but Jack was great to play under. He was a character. Car salesman, you know? Jack was legend. Jack was legend. He was... great to me, Troy and Gavin, and we loved him. And you wouldn't find a more inspirational coach to give a pre-game talk than Jack. I still remember him now. You could run for a brick wall for Jack.
Yeah,
he was great at doing that.
So after footy, and we had a brief chat before we started, you turn to the game that you love, cricket.
Yep.
Tell us about this. You won a premiership playing cricket. Tell us a little bit about that and who you played with.
Yeah, no, they were great. We played for Adelaide Old Scholars. What's his name? Anyway, there's a great man.
Nothing about you is old scholar.
But we played with Gav and Shay down.
Gav Wanganeen.
My brother Troy. I think Stiffy Johncock come and played a few games. Shawnee Burgoyne come and played a few games. Jeremy Johncock played for Sturt.
Yeah.
He could hit a cricket ball.
Yeah.
The nucleus of our side, because Troy could bat. And he knew it too. The little we used to play cricket in the backyard, and he was out 10 times. But if he wouldn't go out, then he'd throw the bat down. So I'm not playing anymore until he could bat.
So obviously you're a bowler.
Yeah. No, I don't know what I am because I can't bowl or bat. I think I was a designated
drinker. You're the old rounder.
I was a designated drinker. But that was fantastic. Actually, I won us the grand final because we played just up the road here. Well, I made 37 not out off about because they turned into a one.
What happened this? I don't know about my stats stuff. All of a sudden,
when you play cricket, you remember if you made any runs.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
they're
the only runs I made. But Gavin could bat, Troy could bat, Jeremy could bat, and we had another guy called Laurie Boy that come down from Murray Bridge. We had 4 gun batters.
Yeah.
So I just basically sat back and drank beer a little bit.
There must have been some looks when you brothers are walking out in the
white.
Yeah,
it was quite funny. Because a few of the guys take it serious.
Oh, yeah.
We had a couple cracking up at their players if they didn't tuck their shirt in. We were lucky if we rocked up with a shirt on.
what about the sledging? Who's the best sledger out of
the year? We all sledged each other. We were more happy seeing each other get out and make runs. We were cheering for each other to get out because no one wanted to make any runs more than the other person.
But
they were good times. We'd laugh if someone got smacked for a 6 or we're more happy to see people go bad than good.
Yeah.
And was
but
this...
we ended up winning the flag.
The coach of the team said to me, I want you to open the batting. And I said, fantastic, no worries. I practiced leaving the ball in the nets on a Wednesday night so often. Came to game day on a Saturday morning, and you think about summer in Tasmania, it still rained a lot. So out of probably the 10, 15 games we had, we only got to play about 6 or 7 of them because it was washed out so much. Anyway, my time had come. I'd led the team out to bat, and I'd left the first ball and got bowled middle stump. So that basically describes my cricketing career. I love what I'm doing now. I have spoken to people about broadcasting and calling sport and things like that. I think that I'd be okay at it because of my upbringing. But I think there's probably two parts to it. The part one being my dad's known for doing that, and I've always wanted to fight the whole aspect of doing what my dad did. It's just been something that I've always wanted to be known as Jared Walsh, not yep. Peter Walsh's son. And I'm full transparency. I don't have a relationship with my dad, and I haven't for over 10 years. And that doesn't have anything to do with me not wanting to do it. But I also feel that I've sort of naturally crafted my own profession doing what I'm doing now. And the fact that I work in music radio but still have such an involvement in sport, I am scratching that sporting itch, because I'd be lying if I said I'm not obsessed with sport, and I really am. And I think there's a future for me to do sports radio. But at the moment, commentating it... it's a really strange environment at the moment when it comes to the media, because you'll find a lot of commentators, a lot of broadcasters are ex-players. And I love the commentators who aren't. Like, I love listening to what Jared Waitley has to say, and listening to Anthony Hudson commentate, and people like that who are just journalists and they're just commentators, who will then, when they need to find out what's going on in a game or what's going on in an environment, they'll ask the experts. And yep. I guess also James Brayshaw is a perfect example. Yep. He was a fantastic cricketer. He wasn't a footballer, but to be able to have the career that he has, that's something I guess I'd aspire to do later on down the track.
So you mentioned Charlie Walsh. So before we move on to the Olympics, talk us through Charlie Walsh, the man. Is he an imposing figure? Obviously, worldwide respected for what he's done in the sport. Initially, when you met Charlie, what was it like?
Yeah, look, the first impressions, I'm not sure how he took me the first time, because I was quite young, but he did identify me very early as having potential. He sat me down with, I think it was a national road coach at the time, the national masseur, and also himself. It was basically those three guys in a row, and I'm sitting in one chair on the other side. And he said something like, "Oh, we see a lot of potential in you, and really keen for you to, you know, jump on board and train with us." And I said, "No, thanks. I already got a coach."
Someone that we would know?
It was just a local coach. I was very loyal at the time, and it didn't go down too well. But I don't think I spoke to, he spoke to me for about 18 months after that. But eventually came around. it wasn't that bad. It was, at the time, I guess I was just a loyal, I was seeing results, I was going along. But it didn't take long for me to work out that, part of the pathway was, to get with the national team and the AIS, that was a way forward. So Charlie was, very influential from an early stage. We all know about, Charlie being a really hard taskmaster. Mm. It was renowned as one of the most grueling training regimes, in Australia at the time. Yeah. and probably worldwide. But it was really tough, and we did, there were a lot of athletes that didn't make it, fortunately I did long enough to finally reach my dream.
Making this probably the worst question I've ever asked in my life. withdrawing the gold medal, what's behind that then? Because you've done so much.
Yeah, it became very difficult. Like I admit, once I got my life dream, I sort of talked about going to the next Olympics, and I was like, well, I'm only going to lose, everything to lose from here. So, yeah. I sort of completed the set as well at Olympics. I had the gold, silver, and bronze, it did become quite difficult for me to sort of look forward after that, and it was within 1 year I'd retired from international competition.
Yeah, well, sort of. Well, probably like they even sort of. I remember playing 13 games one year. They sort of ended up just sort of spreading the games out pretty much. So yeah. No one sort of held the spot for a long time. But it was a combination of that, and I also wanted to come home and play footy in front of my friends and family. Okay. I had a meeting with Port Power after my my third year to potentially come home, but they just drafted Matthew Lobe 2 years previously and had a few other guys in their book, so it probably didn't really fit for them. So I stayed another year at Carlton. And then during that year, Jonathan Griffin decided to move back to Perth. And then I sort of came over. So it sort of, was a perfect match at the end of that year.
So, mate, look, obviously the move to West Lakes for you has been a very successful one. You've turned yourself into one of the leading ruckmen in the competition. Do you look back and see those tough times at Carlton as, I guess, the reason why you're successful now, or do you think it's just the environment at West Lakes that done that?
No doubt. It taught me some good lessons. I mean, I'm not naive to say that, I'd would have rathered that way. You'd always rather go on the national draft.
Of course, yeah.
Things like that. But to go down that path definitely gave me more appreciation of what I've got. And, I've always had to work hard for anywhere I've got with my footy. And I reckon that's probably sort of how I've conducted my career is that, I have had to work hard. I don't have the natural leap that a Paddy Ryder does or a Nick Natanui or, I haven't got the speed that, Steph Martin does. So, I've had to sort of improve in all areas to get it up to scratch. And, it's been great to be able to finally get some consistency in my game.
Who are your idols, Sue?
Well, it was pretty much Greg Norman and most of guys who are around my age, because back in 86 when I finished high school and I moved to Perth, he was world number one.
Yep.
He won his first major then, and he actually led all four of them into the last round, but only won one of them. But he was the man and he was for a very long time.
Yeah.
So, he was the main one. I mean, there are other guys, but golf really wasn't on TV back then. It wasn't really the introduction of Foxtel that golf became available for the masses to watch. Mm. It was really only the four majors,
yes,
and you had golf on ABC pretty much, and that's how I, watched golf. But I think the Masters was my first ever major that I watched on TV in 86 when Nicklaus won.
Yeah.
And then I played the Masters, which was my third event, the Australian Masters, and I made more money that week than I engrossed as a printer any other year. I think I made $19,500 for the week, and my gross income as a printer was about $18,000. So I literally thought I was a millionaire. I went out and bought a pair of 501 jeans, which were $110. And, I just thought, how much money is this? It's 20 grand,
First of all, when it got to the point where I came over at the end of 84, they put me in an office at the MCG with Jeff Brown, who was the AFL solicitor. Cameron Schwab pushed me sort of through the door and then closed the door behind, and it was just myself and Jeff Brown. So he had a...
How old are you at this stage?
So it was a year before I went, so I was 21.
Right.
Yeah, so he had two checks in front of him, and he said, here's a check for 10 grand. He said, you can take that now. And he said, when you move over, I'll write out another check and I'll give you another 10 grand. So that was it pretty much. And I'm just looking at it going, I've just earned... $2,500 for the whole year at the Eagles.
Yeah.
And I've got 20 grand sitting in front of me, so I was going.
So,
in a nutshell, that's how it worked. We did go through the contract and said, look, this is a Form 4. It just ties you to the club for 4 years. It's not like you have to come and play for us. If you decide not to come, you still get to keep the 10, but when you relocate, we'll give you another 10.
Mm.
Is Cornsey the first one? Yeah, Cornsey the first two, reading out the team, and, there's Anderson and Bradley and... Matty Rendell and Matty Campbell in the back line, and I'm thinking, wow, this is unbelievable. And I was on the halfback flank, so that's where I started. So that was the big win we had against the Vics in 87. That was fantastic. And over here, one by 5 or 6 points. So,
and we still talk about it.
Yeah, that's probably, it would almost be one of the highlights, I think, of my career, was being amongst a group so talented as that group.
Yeah.
And winning, of course, being a part of
it. Is that the game that Kernahan kicked 10?
No, it was the year before.
That was the year before that.
When he was on Dooley, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were great. People say, your grand final, must have been great, and, being a part of the final series. And that was all great, but there's nothing like the state food. I don't think I've ever been as nervous as what I had when I was playing.
So who were you standing for the...
I actually started on Terry Danaher, and then I was on Richard Osborne.
Good player
and
too.
And then I had to spend a bit of time on Gary Ablett. So it was like just
staggering.
Yeah, it's like they're all So I used to play on Gary Ablett quite a lot in the first couple of years, especially down at Geelong. So again, being half back, he was ruck rover, half forward, or just do what he wanted in the forward line. So had a bit of experience on him.
Was there a thought process as to why you were the man?
Again, just because I could run, I think he's quite athletic. Mm. I couldn't obviously body with him because he was, 95 kilos and I was 75, So I just had to play off him a little bit and just read the play and just jump at the same time. So, just had a good, used to play well against him.
Yeah.
A trip down memory lane there, Bonds. all started off with Case. That was brilliant. We didn't think, wow, that's not getting any better. Then Gary Millis and Aish, Bondi.
And John Fidge and Stretchy, last one we've had in last week. Just all been great interviews. And hopefully...
Hoggy on the phone.
Yeah, hopefully for our listeners, it's given you, I guess, a little bit of an insight to some of the great sporting people we have here in South Australia and interstate.
Yeah, look, a couple of my favourites was Brett Atkin and also... John Fidge. I think the John Fidge one really, I just sort of staggered me.
That was an amazing interview. And also, I love the Michael Aish interview. Loved having a chat with Case because obviously we know him fairly well.
Yes.
And also...
We've just about known them all. Stephen Leaney.
Stephen Leaney, and he wanted to go on and tell us even more stories. Yes. So we might get Stephen Leaney back another time. But
stay tuned for the Leaney Diaries.
That's it. All right, so you are listening to the Pickles and Bond Sports Show. It's our 50th show. And we'll be straight back after this.
Hi, this is John Casey from Channel 7. You're listening to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show. It's the best podcast you'll get in sport.
Welcome back to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show. Now, Bonds, how good are the interviews? We love them.
Yep.
But we always promised our fans that at one stage, they were going to see what happens whenever we go around the world. So, Bonds, we're about to do it, and this is what happens. And this is not rehearsed. This is just what happens.
This is what happens. 50 shows.
Automatic. Now tell me that you weren't doing that at home yourself. Let us know if you were bobbing and going around the world. Okay, Bonds, we'll start with the cricket. Now the big test at the moment over there, England and South Africa. A couple of massive things happened over there in that test.
Absolutely. It started off with England. They made 353.
Yep.
Cook made 88 and Stokes, good player.
He hasn't stopped almost. He just, everything he does is going beautifully.
Good player. He got 112. And for the South Africans, Morkel and Rabada got 3 wickets apiece in the first dig.
Including one hell of a ball from Rabada. The
unplayable.
How about that on debut? Pick that one.
not bad. And speaking about guys on debut, England bowled South Africa out for 175.
Yes.
They had them 5 for 70 at one point. So to get to 175 is probably a good effort.
Yep.
But Toby Rowland-Jones... got 5. You got to say it properly like
you
that.
Do.
When there's a hyphen.
Yes.
He got 5 for 57 on debut. Not bad.
Yeah, that's something he'll be pretty happy with.
Yep. And then in the second dig, England got over 300 again.
Yeah, Johnny Bairstow 63.
Yeah.
And I think Stokes was swinging his bat as hard as he could just to add the scores up. A bit of a late declaration, I thought, from Joe Root. Could have got earlier.
Well, the Poms tend to do that.
I know.
They tend to leave
Friday cats.
Friday cats, yep. And then the only batter to put up any resistance in the second innings was Dean Elgar.
Got half their score.
Yeah, he got 136 out of 252. But what about the way the test match ended?
Yes.
With Moeen Ali.
4 for 45.
Yeah, but he got the last three wickets and the last three balls of the test. And the last one was reviewed. So... coming around the wicket to the left hand, it thumped into the pads. It looked pretty plumb.
Yeah.
Umpire goes, nah, not out. Sorry. Upstairs they go, waiting for the decision. And yes, it's out. Hat trick and win the test match.
Exactly. Yeah, beautiful. And apparently all sorts of records broken. Ending a test match with a hat trick.
Yeah.
yeah. by an off-spin bowler, around the wicket on a Wednesday at 2:34, all that sort of stuff. But that's the end of the cricket internationally, Bonds. We move into the local.
Well, exciting cricket. Times for us is that the BBL and the BBL fixtures were released this week.
A lot of bees, isn't it, Nahari?
It is a little bit. And I can't wait for December 9. Yes. You know what that means?
Yes.
Cricket's on telly every night for a month.
That's right. How fast do people drive home from work? It's radar season.
Yeah. And also, they've extended it out by 8 games. So we've got an extra 8 games this year. So going from 32 to 40. So every team gets an extra home game.
Yep.
And the strikers will play. Now, this actually wasn't in the program. It says TBA.
Uh-huh.
TBA. But little birdie told me, but they might be playing their game in Alice Springs in January.
Headbands, sweatbands.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Oh. Taking one of the, instead of playing another home game in Adelaide Oval, which I'm sure the fans would love to see.
Of course.
But taking it, they're going to take some games to regional areas and the Strikers will play in Alice Springs.
And it culminates.
Rumour has it. You heard it first. That's here, right. On Facebook. You heard it here.
You saw it first.
You saw it first and heard it here on the Pickles Mod Sports Show.
And it's all going to culminate on February the 4th.
Yep.
When the big whiz bang final, firecrackers and flares and just going off all over the place. They put on a massive show.
Yeah. And again, Strikers have got the New Year's Eve game, which we've seen some great games.
That sells out so fast.
Yeah. 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 Get in early. And I can't wait. I'm very lucky to be involved there and I'm in a privileged position. So I can't wait for New Year's Eve as well.
Yes. I'm always there. Take the family. It is one hell of a night.
Now, before we get on to other sport, we should talk about the pay dispute, shouldn't we?
Okay. Yep. Let's do a bit of that. A little bit serious stuff.
Well, it's now over. We don't know exactly what the ramifications are yet.
Yep.
But it seems that both teams have gone, okay, we can't go on much further. This is ridiculous. People aren't getting paid.
People aren't playing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I reckon they might have just done sort of a patch deal. Okay, let's just sign the deal for the next 12 months, 2 years, and then we're going to reassess.
And we'll start again. Yep. Yeah. No point blocking off the live, mate, when you're doing that, where people can't see the screen. all good news that they're playing. That was...
It's
getting too close to the season starting with no one knowing what's going on.
Yep, great news. So they'll go to Bangladesh, they'll go to India, play the One Days, and then obviously the Ashes back here.
Now, England are going to come over here. Now, they've got to warm up and have a game, obviously, or a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
Will any of those be in Adelaide, you reckon?
You know that it is. One in Adelaide. So more big news for the Pickles and Bonds show on show 50. We've got all this stuff we're letting out tonight. The first day-night game that England will play, because they haven't played a with a pink ball under light. The
Twilighter,
before.
Yep.
Haven't played that.
The Mitchell Starc game.
So they are going to play a game against Cricket Australia 11 at the Adelaide Oval. It's in early November. And
unfortunately, you won't be able to watch it on TV.
You'll be able to watch the live stream with commentary from that bloke and this bloke.
So they're streaming it.
Pickles and Bonds will be commentating that game. And again, how exciting is that, mate? We can't wait, can we?
Well, it's a pretty bit like the Redbacks Shield stream is unbelievable.
Which we love.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But this one is going to be worldwide.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We say it before, we muck around a bit, but this time we are going global. We are global.
All right, mate. Got some rugby league news.
Yes, for the cauliflower ears.
Yes, we don't speak much rugby league, but deserves a mention, doesn't it?
But he's become the third player in history to play 350 games. But Cam Smith has now said that he wants to go on. He wants to go and take on the big 400 mark. Which,
well, he's flying. And what about the game he had in his 350th? He just dominated.
Yeah. That would be the strongest hint that the skipper of Melbourne, Queensland, Australia wants to play beyond his current contract, which expires at the end of next season. So then it gets...
Yeah, so he'd have to play at least another year
after
that to get to 400. So, if
he's still going around and going well, there'll be no issue.
I don't think there is any issues. I think he should go on and play his 400th and become the, you know, greatest rugby league player this country's ever seen.
Yeah, maybe get that simple. Or he could maybe play his last season as head of the Rams. We might head the Rams back up and get them out back.
Get the Ram franchise back on board.
with your coolest Pickles and Bonds. Now, to finalise our Round the World flight this year or this week or the 50th round the world, Bonds.
50th round the world.
The NBL. Massive announcement this is. Now, NBL, very close to your heart.
Well, they're going halfway around the world. They're going to the States. So this is big news for the NBL, and hats off to Larry Kesselman and all those involved that have got this. And they kept them. It was a big secret too. Nobody knew this was happening. So all the negotiations have gone through, and the Sydney Kings will go to America and play the Utah Jazz.
The Kings and the Jazz.
With Joe Ingles and Dante Exum. Rumours that Andrew Bogut might end up there too today.
At the Kings.
At the Jazz. Melbourne United will play OKC, and Brisbane will play Phoenix. So massive news for the NBL, because that is just highlighting those games will be televised around the world.
And we will be in the... No.
Not yet. No. Might ring Larry. Yes. I haven't got his number, but I'll find it.
Maybe Case might be able to help us out with that one.
All right, so that's around the world in 180 seconds. Give or take a couple of seconds. All right, now, normally at this time we'd have Club of the Week, wouldn't we, Pickles?
Well, you certainly would.
But?
We haven't got time for it this week.
Coughing up a lung, yes. As he does. That's quite a common occurrence on the Pickles and Bonds. Yes.
Now, look, we thought that being the 50th show, we couldn't elevate a club above any other club because... Yep. We just believe that all of those clubs that we do each week, and the volunteers who give their time to keep those clubs running, to give just the people in the community the chance to play, and then for some of them to go on and play at an elite level.
Yeah,
they are all sensational. We love them all.
Yeah,
we'll keep doing it every single week. Apologies to the Swordsman North Football Club. I got their Club of the Week. Pretty much butchered it 1 week, and I do apologise for him. But to all of your clubs, we do thank you very much for being part of the show and part of the 50th show so far.
Yeah, and if you'd like to be a Club of the Week, just go to our website, picklesandbonds.com, and send us your details, tell us about your club, and you can certainly be our Club of the Week in the coming weeks.
Certainly can. Now you're listening to the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show, the 50th show.
Yep.
We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the 50th episode of the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show. Mate, it's been a huge show, hasn't it?
It has. Without the guests and the Club of the Week, it's still been absolutely sensational.
Now, one of our favourite segments, Champ and a Chump. We've had some great champs, some fantastic chumps, Andy Murray, and we've got some special champs and chumps for tonight's show as well. So, are they here?
Always.
The champ is here! The champ is here!
We discussed it. We were working it out. Who was it going to be? We threw a few names around. This guy wasn't in the list.
No. Nope.
Then he announced his retirement, which made it pretty easy to select the big saint, St. Nick. Nick yep. Riewoldt has been an unbelievable career. He's going to go down as possibly the unluckiest man to never win a flag. He should have.
Should have won it.
And he is almost the perfect size footballer. He can mark, he can kick, he can run. But unfortunately, he's unless of course they fly home. And,
well, you never know. Maybe it's this year.
Cinderella story, but yeah. No, he is he's a fantastic player, and he is a real big champ.
A well-deserving champ, and you think of Nick Riewoldt, you think of courage.
Yep.
And his running ability and his fitness.
The running with the flight of the ball mark, that classic footage.
The one against Sydney, you know, how he didn't win Mark of the Year, actually Adam Sampey. Won that from West Coast. He took that hanger.
That's how he didn't win it.
Yeah, but I like Riewoldt's better. Just the courage of that. And yeah, that'll be shown on replays for eternity.
And he's still going very well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which means he's going out at the right time.
Yeah, that's right. And he obviously felt that it was, you know, now's the time. It's right. Lots of speculation in the media about whether they'd offer him a contract or so on, so on, so on. But in the end, it's all done and everyone's happy
speaking of which, he has already had a bit of a toe in the water in the media.
Yeah, he's good in the media.
Yeah, so I reckon he might jump straight in.
Yeah, I reckon there's a couple of contracts already on his table.
Yes, I'd say so.
All right, it's time for the chump.
Because you're a chump.
Now, mate, this week's chump, again, for me, was really easy. It's the MRP. If a guy can get reported and miss a game and possibly lose the Brownlow medal for it for tackling a bloke, are we making our game too soft? Like, I understand you got to protect the head, but that was a more about, you know, driving guys into the ground head first, you know, picking them up and dumping them into the ground. I understand that. Fair enough. But this was just a beautiful tackle.
Well, I think that it was probably fair enough because he did pin the arms and gave Cruiser no chance.
But you're taught to pin the arms.
Oh, look, I think it was a great tackle, but because of the rule that there is.
No, but the rule shouldn't be there. That's what I'm saying.
But the rule is there now.
The MRP shouldn't have that rule.
My issue with the MRP is this. That's a two-week match. That's a two-week penalty. But if you take the guilty plea...
Early plea.
It's a one-week suspension.
Early plea.
If it's two, it's two. You can't... What do you gain by saying yes? Yeah. Now we don't have to come. Well, you don't have to waste my time at the tribunal.
Well, maybe it should be one and they add a week. If you challenge it,
you can't make it. Yeah. Now it's only one, so I don't have to go.
See, that's part of it as well. It's just ridiculous. I understand. And look, footy is a tough game, and people are going to get hurt.
Yep,
it's that simple.
There is no way that Dangerfield in that moment is thinking anything other than tackle.
He's not thinking I'm going to hurt this bloke.
Yeah, if I two, maybe I down to one or one, and I back in, I might just get the fine.
Oh, I better tackle him a little bit softer this next time.
And he's not thinking Brownlow. Yeah, I agree with you in regards to that. But the rule is the rule. But I just can't believe you can plead and then they rule it down, because if it was a 1 week match, a 1 week penalty, can you just say, yeah, no, I did it. Okay, well, you're free to go.
That's right. So there's our Champ of the Chump and our 50th show. Mate, it's time for your top five.
Yes, look, I thought, Bonds, this is a late inclusion of the show and the Pickles and Bonds show that you've added late, and it's been pretty good.
It's working okay, I think.
It is. And I thought, well, today being our 50th show, our day, thought, what are some other really, really bad days in the year? This is a great day.
I was going to say, this ain't a bad day.
So these are all of this year.
Yep.
At five, this is five going down to one. There's no real order in this, I just plucked them. Saturday, the 21st of January, is International Sweatpants Day. I thought you might. Now, why they didn't make more of that, I don't know. Because
I don't know.
That would have been a very, very good day, I would have thought.
Sweatpant Day, love that. Yep, beautiful.
This one probably could have caused a bit of drama. Monday, the 13th of Feb, was Get a Different Name Day.
Get a Different Name Day. Well, so everyone...
Into Interpol. I want to be...
Surely not.
Get a different name, Dan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm not making this stuff up.
You just don't call someone a different name, you know, like, you know. Oh. I might call you...
Alan! 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 Al! Alan! 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 Alan!
Sorry. I just love that.
Well, maybe it might be Steve. You don't have Steve.
Okay. I just got Alan.
Yeah. Saturday, 20th of May was World Fiddle Day. But it's not what I thought. It's actually...
The instrument.
So probably not as glamorous as what I thought. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, hello.
That's a good day.
That would be number one, most definitely number one. Now, this one I had to bring in because it's Tuesday, which is our normal show.
Yes.
Tuesday, the 13th of June, was International Axe Throwing Day.
Really?
Yeah, so look out. So I went back over the histories of Pickles and Bonds this year, and I found out that was the night that Bondi was on the show.
Oh.
So lucky to have him still alive. And although we haven't heard from Bondi since, he might have been axed on the way home.
I'm sure he's fine.
Now, at number one, I think this is pretty easy.
Okay.
It's May the 4th. Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
The first time I ever heard that, I laugh for the rest of the day. I thought it was good. Or probably is today the best day?
The Pickles and Bonds 50th
show. And that is Wednesday, the 2nd of August, which is Ice Cream Sandwich Day.
No, it's not. It's Pickles and Bonds Sports Show 50th show day.
But I want to give a special mention to a day that didn't jump in here, Bond.
Okay.
Which is Tuesday, the 26th of September. So remember that one. Mm-hmm. This is Tuesday. We'll be on air.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Day.
Oh, we're on.
So we might have to open up the show. We'll lose our opening track.
Yeah, Batman. Batman theme.
So that's the top five, and I've added another three in there, Bonds.
Well done, mate. That's a good job. All right, we're just about at the end of the show, and when we come to just about at the end of the show, we talk about what we've learned this week, Pickles, and what have we learned in our 50th show this week?
Pickles and Bonds Sports Show and the franchise has no handbrake.
Correct.
We're going on the up and up. We're just going motoring. The announcements on this 50th show.
Well, we ain't about to stop at 50, are we?
Not even close.
Nah. No. Another 50 is not even in the ballpark.
So, in a quick recap, as fast as you can.
Yep.
In 50 shows since we started, the first one was a bit of a dog's breakfast, but we have gone from commentary on the cricket to the footy.
Yes.
To a podcast, to a radio station, back to the podcast, now to doing international cricket.
Yep, to our website.
To a website, to calling sample finals, the website. Yep. It's only 50 weeks.
Yeah, I know. I know. And we just had a little break in the middle there. So, again, we just want to thank everyone for tuning in and the support of our families as well, because we do put a bit of time into this show. So we do thank our partners, our wives and our families for putting up with us while we're doing this.
And also probably the phone companies, because if it wasn't free call and text, phone bill would be astronomical.
Yeah, so we thank everyone. And look, again, to our number one ticket holder, James Condon, Jimmy Condon.
Hope you're listening, mate.
He's an absolute legend, and we're going to get up there to see him in the summer for sure. He's come down to see us soon.
Yes, well, he's trying
too,
to organise a game of cricket, which is going to involve Noodles.
Yep.
Elijah Ware.
We'll get Bondi in there.
Chad Sayers. Ourselves. Yep. Anyone who can get us. Chris and James Gowans, I think.
Yeah, the Gowan already, boys, they'll be in. Yep.
They'll be on his side, so it could be a massive match. Anyway, now, thanks also to our number one sponsor, Bonds, and partner in Andrew Kay.
Yeah, and it was great to hear from him today and to hear a little bit more about Wirrawirra Vineyards and what a great place it is.
It really is. So get up there, to steal a line, do yourself a favour, get up there, have a great little feed in the cafe, sample some of his great wines, buy some, of course, take them home, and then you'll certainly be going back.
Absolutely. Don't forget to check out our website, picklesandbonds.com, and get on it. If you don't like our Facebook page and Twitter, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook.
And make sure that you make us a favourite of yours on Stitcher. Don't try to subscribe, because there is no subscribe option.
Well, the link's right now. So if you go on the website and click on the link, it'll come up to the Pickles and Bonds, either on Stitcher or iTunes, depending on what phone you have. And then you will get this episode and every other episode the night we record it, which is normally Tuesday night. It'll be on your phone by 9 o'clock-ish.
9 o'clock-ish. Whenever we post, Bonds, that we are going to be calling an Eagles game.
Yes.
That's on Eagles Radio. So either download the Eagles app, and then you can go straight to us, or go to Mixlr. You can get a hold of us.
And again, there's a link on our website for Mixlr, so you can go there and do that as well.
So we need more and more of you to jump on board and have a listen to that. And we want plenty of feedback on how do you think the call's going.
Yep.
Once again, look, we say thanks to Wirrawirra. That was unbelievable to get that sponsor on board.
Absolutely. And the show couldn't exist. So we got some big news coming up in the coming weeks as well. We can't give everything away on our 50th show, but this has been the 50th episode of the Pickles and Bonds Sports Show. Mate, just between us two, well done.
You too, mate. Really, been a pleasure working with you, and nowhere near stopping, as you said.
That's right. Pickles and Bonds.
Good heads for radio. Walk straight through hell with a smile.